Episode 76 of Drunk on Comics. I really have nothing. I just got the giggles.
Yeah, how long did it take us to actually hit record and actually start blah, blah, blah? Jesus.
Well, there's a spirit of 76, and I like spirits, and then there's a, like 76 gas stations.
Which I didn't hear about. No, what
do they still have 76 gas stations?
I don't think so.
There's got to be at least 76 gas stations somewhere. No, we only have 75 in this country.
No, there's no more than 75 allowed in one area at a time. Because once you get to 76, that shit's copyrighted. So, hey, welcome to Drunk on Comics. My name's Derek.
My name's Tony.
I'm Matt.
And Kevin.
And Kevin here. And this is our weekly podcast. Where we sit around and we drink and make fun of each other while we talk comics and conventions and collecting and industry news and all other kinds of shit. So, first warning, we swear and shit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we still haven't figured out how to change that thing on iTunes that says explicit.
Yeah.
Because I think we're really just friendly. Or family?
We are friendly.
We're friendly. Like family.
We're friendly drunks.
Like your family, like your drunk uncle at Christmas.
Always wants you to sit on your lap. Keeps doing the scoliosis test on you. I don't know. It's awkward.
Scoliosis test.
Bend over.
Hey, Derek, this isn't the place to relive repressed childhood memories.
I'm starting new memories.
And on that note, we're going to kick this off with Off the Shelf.
Yes. So, Off the Shelf brought to you once again by inter-comics.com, your online source for all your comic book needs. Located in the UK, but they ship worldwide, so check them out. You cannot beat their prices. Word of warning, we're talking about books that came out this week, and we're going to talk about stuff that happened in them.
Yeah. So, we call those spoilers.
Lots of people do, actually.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with it, you could Google the term spoiler, and you could probably find out that it means it will give away important plot twists and things.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. You know, Kevin tries to go spoiler-free, but I
have been trending that way lately.
Yeah, but Tony is actually good at kind of
ruining those
out.
Anyways.
Sneaking those out. So who would like to kick it off this week?
You know, I think I'll kick it off with Aspen Comics 10 for 10. I believe this is the last of the 10
say,
for
10s. Say, it seems like it's been going on for like 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't know.
Like 10 months, right?
It was 10 months, yeah.
So this is the last one, right?
This is the last one.
All right, and so for only a buck, you can go pick up the all-new Soulfire. This book, written by J.T. Kroll and...
Kroll.
That's just cruel, man.
It is. And actually, his blog is Cruel Words.
Oh, that's cool. That's punny.
Yeah.
All right. And Frank Master...
Master Morrow.
Yeah. So you got me thinking of Cruel. And I said Crawl because I was thinking of the glaive from that awful movie called Crawl. I'm sorry, JT. pencils by V. Ken Marion. And inks, digital inks, Mark Roslin. And colors, Kyle Ritter. And lettering, Josh Reed. All right. Book.
What's digital inks?
Probably that they did it on a computer rather than on paper.
Yeah, there are a lot of artists that are at least dabbling or going that way. Totally.
Take the little paint icon and it fills in the whole spot.
I was gonna say it's whatever it's doing, it's working for this book. That's the first thing I will kick off with. The art is gorgeous. You got some nice characters, a lot of pretty ladies. You know, it's in the comic book world where there's absolutely no ugly people or no fat people or no people with, like, gimpy arms or losing letters.
No, that's going to happen when you have to pay $3.99 for the book.
Yeah.
Next month.
Grab the middle hand.
There is one of the main characters, she has freckles, and I was kind of like, that's kind of cool. You don't often see, like, you know, big freckles on comic book characters and stuff. So kudos to the art. This is a Soulfire is a series that's been going on for a while. Essentially, they live in a world that's in the future, 2213, so about 200 years from our future. So technology has definitely progressed, and as science fiction would have it, you know, super weapons, flight, you know, all these cool new sciencey gadgets. However, a couple years ago, magic has re-entered their world. So this is really a book in a world that's sharing magic and technology in the same space.
Hang on, Thor?
No, I don't think Thor's in this one, although they could be part of Yggdrasil, part of the Nine Worlds. Not exactly sure. But there are dragons.
Yeah.
And dragons are pretty cool. I remember reading a while back, their last big story arc that had to do with these chaos dragons coming in. But if you're not familiar with their past, this is a great starting on point. They kind of recap some of the characters, like important trademarks, such as the character Grace. She was possessed by a chaos demon and caused all the dragons to happen. So she feels guilty as if she's killed a bunch of people, even though it was just her body. Her soul was trapped and possessed, because, you know, that's how magic works. But otherwise, it's a nice starting on point. Like I said, we get to see the characters. We get to learn a little bit about the world. The art is pretty. And, I mean, I don't got much else to say to spoil on that. It's just, if you're interested in science and magic, I think this is a good book to pick up.
There's a couple things that I wanted to throw in on this, because I really enjoyed it. And there's a lot with Soulfire. Like, I've read, I think, the first three, four volumes,
okay,
something like that, and I hadn't been able to catch up, so I was actually glad that they started this one fresh, because I'm like, okay, I need a good jumping on point, and I wasn't quite sure, and I'm like, cool, I'm glad with this. But JT Krull is, well, I've known JT well since high school, but he is, you know, just one of the best writers out there, I think, for dialogue. Like, I mean, it comes across, even in this, you know, unnatural world,
mm-hmm.
you know, where all these things are happening, it comes across as a very natural type thing.
Yeah.
But the other thing I really liked about the art on this one is that it's very much in that style of Michael Turner, the late great Michael Turner, who created this, you know, this world and this story. And I thought that was nice, is that, you know, it definitely feels like his creation.
Yeah, speaking of, you know, one of the pages that really stuck out to me is, I forgive that I don't know this bad guy's name, but he's basically like this white-haired, goateed bad guy trying to do something bad. That's all I can really get. I get that from the art. And that, like, but he's talking about trying to make his, you know, he needs a reborn resurgence of these dragons. And then on his wall, he's got this huge picture of the red dragon, or Lucifer. Which, if you're familiar with, like, the movie Red Dragon that they did, it was like a prequel to Silence of the Lambs. The guy had the big tattoo on it. So it's definitely an iconic picture that was, when I was flipping through the page, I was like, hey, I've seen that before. Kind of helps ground the book, but also, you know, shows that this character's evil, because he's got a big picture of, like, the devil on his wall. So
yeah.
It's nice when you can identify people by their artwork.
All right.
So, good book, cool. And again, pick it up for only $1, see if you like it. It might give you a new series to start reading, and if you don't, it costs you $1. Mm-hmm. So
sell it to your friend for $2.
Nice. Tony, you want to buy this book?
Okay, I already did. I picked up this week a bunch of different books that I normally wouldn't, mainly to try to see what all this shit's about in all these other realms. So I picked up Unity Number 1 by Valiant, and I haven't read a Valiant cover in years. And when I say years, I mean all the years that I've been alive. I've never read a Valiant book, ever. But I was like, there was a ton of different covers, and I'm like, this is a huge thing that's going on with this. I'm going to quick Google it and see what the hell it's about. The only thing that I know from Valiant is Exo Manowar, and I want to say I probably did read a issue of that. So this is, they're saying they're trying to make a team-up book in the Valiant universe. I'm like, that could be interesting, but I have no fucking clue who any of these people are. So for me, I did a little research. I do know what's going on now, but I have my initial review of what it was going to be, with having no clue whatsoever about this book. So you have this guy in armor that looks kind of like a cross between Iron Man and Samus Aran with the helmet of Mega Man.
You mean Metroid? I know a lot of people that call Samus, you know, Metroid.
Yeah.
Like, no, those
are the bad guys. Yeah.
Sorry.
But then you have this bad guy who, I have no clue who the hell he is, except for he's a Japanese guy who really hates nuclear bombs. And he seems like he got gamma radiation or something, nuclear radiation, has got some powers. Then the Winter Soldier type guy goes on and tries to fight Exo Manowar and finds out that that ain't happening. He's just too powerful. And then there's this badass awesome ninja who's like cooler than this side of Snake Eyes. Like, he's probably my favorite guy that I've seen in this. And all these people, and then there's this team, the First Unity team, that within the two pages that they introduced them, because you're thinking this is setting up for this team to go fight Eric, the Exo Manowar, yeah, he kills them all within two pages. And I'm like,
You're not really gaining unity by killing people.
No. And when they jump out of the ship, they go, Team Unity, and I'm like thinking, well, that was quick to form a team, and then you find out, no, yeah, these guys just got their asses handed to them. Which really sets up how powerful the Exo Manowar armor is, and you're also getting the feeling of all these other characters, which have been well-established within this comic book series, or in this world, are going to probably be part of this Unity team. So that's kind of my not knowing anything that's going on. Having done a little research, finding out when they reintroduced Exo Manowar, he's been kind of off-world in this planet where the Exo armor came from, pretty much liberated his people from there and has come back to Earth. Originally, he was from a barbaric, you know, back in the Roman times, and now that it's occupied by where his home country was in Romania. He's taking it back. The Russians aren't happy. The Russians are going to call nuclear war on him. It's going to cause giant chaos within the entire world. So that's where this Japanese guy, Toya Harada, who has some sort of powers because he was in one of the bombs that we dropped on Japan, which is why he hates nuclear bombs, is forming this team to try to destroy Exo Manowar because he's kind of going off. I always thought Exo was the good guy, but it seems like there's a lot of blurred lines in this Valiant Comics side. I don't know who the Winter Soldier guy was, but I do know that the awesome ninjas, his name is Ninjak, and that's just kind of cool. And I don't know what else to say. It seems like a very good... It sucks not having known some of these characters, picking it up for the first time.
So the book assumes they already know who half these people are?
They give enough to where you kind of get the sense of kind of who this person is a bit. But it's really one of those things of you really should have read it before, but it doesn't seem like a big crossover event like everyone else does. This seems like it's a cohesive book that's trying to make a team, and in the vein of like the first Avengers taking characters that have been around and make them a unity. The art was pretty good. Doug Brathwaite, I think his art's pretty spectacular.
It's pretty.
And Matt Kent, this story is just great. And I like even the first page kind of explains a little bit about Manowar, but you don't really need to know anything to enjoy this book as a book. Having just not known that any of these characters were from anywhere before, you're just going to read this saying, that was a good story. I want to see where it goes to next.
Yeah, the first page, it tells you like the story from 402 AD to present. Of what happened to...
In six pictures,
and I'm like, oh, I totally understand why people hate him. He's a Visigoth, and he thinks that, you know, the world is his, and he lives in barbaric times where if you want something, you took it. Done. Enough said.
So, yeah, it's amazing. Like I said, there's so many covers. I couldn't choose one, so I got the white cover, just so that way I feel happy with
Tony,
my purchase.
Tony can use his crayons and draw whatever cover he wants on it now.
So definitely pick it up, and this is actually going to be a series that I'm going to continue to pick up to see where the story goes.
All right, now, you gonna? Now, did they still make Man of War?
Exo Man of War?
Yeah.
You gonna pick that up?
There
Cause
is
because it almost seems like there's a huge tie into that. And
it is, and there isn't. What they're saying is for this whole first story arc, it is going to tie in heavily with his stories going on. So in the back here, it has a preview of the next Exo Man of War book that ties in directly with this. But this is going to be a standalone book. So after this first five story arcs dealing with what's going on now, they're going to continue on to go do their own thing So I may get some of the tie-ins just to see, but even just picking up this, it seems like this is a book that you don't need to read every other thing to get what's going on.
Funny little story about Valiant. I knew that they were a comic book producer. I couldn't tell you who, what characters or what properties they owned, but the marquee at my comic book store says Marvel, DC, Valiant, Dark Horse. And I was like, one of these things is not like the other.
Well, I tell you what, like, they've been, Valiant has been doing a lot over the last couple of years with putting out a lot of good new titles and getting people super excited. In fact, yeah, if people are curious, shameless plug, go to drunkoncomics.com and you can actually read a bunch of reviews on a lot of the Valiant books that our review writers have been doing.
Yeah. I've heard that they're making a comeback with good, thought-provoking, you know, good, yeah, solid stories.
Harbinger was pretty good. I read a bunch of that.
Quantum and Woody with the goat has been, you know, that's
the
been
goat cool. Always intrigued me. So.
Yeah, Archer and Armstrong, also another one that's been doing really well. God, they just had one other that came out. New Greg Pak title came out like a week or two ago, which did really well. But
cool.
Yeah, so I mean they've stepped up their game.
Good.
But all right, to go back to the one of these things is like the others. I kind of had to. Okay, let me back up. My actual top pick of the week this week is Rocket Girl number 2. But since I just reviewed Rocket Girl number 1 a month ago, I'm holding off on it. But second best pick this week for me was X-Men Gold, which is a one-shot. And it's a compilation of a whole bunch of different stories.
Since this is your second pick, shouldn't it be X-Men Silver?
Well, no.
Platinum. Platinum
is
been.
My first.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, so Gold is
gold
my
second.
Gold is second. Yeah. Yep.
Is this a story of them that sell gold dancers?
It is. And actually, the weird thing is, Kevin, you're not too far off, because a lot of these stories take place, actually all of them take place back in time.
When the X-Men Blue and X-Men Gold teams existed?
Well, you have, like, there's a story from Stan Lee in here.
Okay. I've heard of him.
Yep. And Louise and Walter Simonson do the art on that, and it's kind of a story of the original five X-Men with the four boys racing down the hallways to get to the danger room, because whoever gets there first gets to go on a date with Jean Grey. And, you know, it's short, it's fun. You've got Roy Thomas, you know, did a story with Pat Olaf on there, where it's Banshee and Sunfire before they join the X-Men.
Okay.
And basically it takes place like before, I don't remember if it was Giant Size or X-Men 94, which one it took place like right before that. But find out that these two, like, they start to go to blows, and then they realize, wait a minute, why are we fighting? They each thought that they were part of the X-Men that they didn't like, but then it turns out that they both really love Elvis, and that's why they were there, because they went to Memphis to go see, like, you know, where Sun Records started and Graceland.
I was going to say, I thought Banshee was just fighting because he was drunk again as an Irishman.
He's a Scot.
I thought he was Irish.
No, he's a Scot.
I'm going to check on that.
Yeah, Sean Cassidy. All right. Google it.
I'll Google it.
But yeah, you've got a great story in here from Len Wein, who is the co-creator of Wolverine, and Jorge Molina, where this story, Matt, you would actually just adore this story. If I can find it in here, it's basically have you ever read Giant Size X-Men? Mm. Any of you guys?
Is that the
Giant
one?
You mean the number one?
Giant Size X-Men is the one where the team basically comes to the new team.
Yeah. After Kuroka, yeah, and sure, they had to get Wolverine.
Krakoa, yeah, that's actually, uh-huh, like right when they went, mm-hmm, there. So basically within the two panels that happen in that story where Professor X is saying, you guys are, here's what's going on and blah, blah, blah. Wolverine basically figures out how he could and would kill every other member on the team.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
A Wolverine could kill everyone?
How he could and would if he had to kill every member on the team.
You know what that reminds me of is the Batman yeah. Tower of Babel series where he had all of his things on how he could kill everyone.
His contingency plans.
And Wolverine
plans.
Being like Batman that yeah. can see him.
Yeah.
But I don't know, what more would he need besides sneaked?
Well, like, I mean, he talks about Banshee is simple because Banshee's power coming from
his voice,
a quick slash to the vocal cords and yeah. he's done.
Yeah.
You know, he talks about Thunderbird that, yeah, you know, he's very similar, quick, agile, super strong, but, you know, Wolverine has more experience, so yeah. he'd win there. Colossus's steel can still be cut by yeah. adamantium. Yeah. You know, Sunfire, he talks about reflecting his forces, yeah. like the fire back at him to melt him and shit like that. Nightcrawler, he gets that quick smell of sulfur before he appears, so yeah. he can be ready.
Predicted.
It's just cool shit yeah. like that. And Len Wein, I mean, did a... Man, that... I've always wondered, like, is this a story that he's just been, like, going, yeah, this has been in the back of my head forever, because it's just yeah. so flawless.
Is he justifying Wolverine's existence on the team or something? Or
No, it's just the, you know, because like, Professor X says something along the lines of, you know, you got to be prepared for anything. Be prepared for anything, including the possibility of having to fight your own brothers in blood. And that's when he goes, "Oh, good point." You know,
and Wolverine's just sitting there thinking.
Yeah, yeah. But there's also another story, more in tune with the Solid Gold Dancers from the 70s, maybe 80s era, which is written by Chris Claremont and art was by Bob McLeod, where it's, you know, it's a Kitty Pryde-centered story where, you know, they're just kind of, once again, saving the world from Sentinels and all that. But, you know, everything's back in that, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The short-haired the,
yeah,
rogue.
That, yeah, the well, I'm thinking more of her outfit that she's wearing, that green outfit she always wore.
Yeah.
Versus the updated, like, body paint one, which was yellow.
Yep, and then now she's got a new green one again, but it's different. Mm. But, you know, Wolverine's back in the old brown outfit. Nice. But you know, the thing that I really liked about this, I mean, there's a lot of just fanboy love here for me. You know, I mean, it's all the writers did a great job. The art, while I really liked it, I wish that the art would have been reminiscent of the era when these yeah. stories are set. But the one thing that I thought was worth mentioning was Chris Claremont, the story in here. It has that kind of inner monologue of Kitty Pryde throughout the entire story. And that's something I miss from a lot of writers now, is that inner monologue makes you feel like you're part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those things that I'm like, it's cool to see that it still works, you know, all these years later, and I would like to see some more writers trying to do it. But anyway, if you're a fan of the old X-Men, I'm done gushing, go buy this book.
What if you're a fan of the new X-Men?
Well, that would work too, because the new X-Men are the old X-Men. All new X-Men, at least.
So, if... refresh my memory. Sunfire, didn't he die, like, in the first handful of issues after he was revealed to the team?
No.
He's been dead, I think, once, because he's talked about...
Sunfire or Sunspot?
Sunspot. Yeah, never mind.
Sunfire, he's from Japan.
Yes.
And he was Apocalypse had resurrected him at some point okay. to be one of his horsemen.
Yeah.
And that's amplified his powers. That's why he's on the Uncanny Avengers team right now, so...
So, with the powers of the internet in my hands, what'd you say, where's Sean Cassidy from?
Scotland.
And you said Ireland.
I said he's Irish.
Yeah, it says Muir Island is off the coast of Scotland, but unfortunately, the Marvel Wiki says Sean Cassidy is the heir to both a small fortune and a castle in Cassidy Keep, Ireland, where he was born.
Yes! Also, Banshees are more known for Irish folklore than Scottish folklore.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
At first when I Googled it and I say, oh, Muir Island, Scotland, yeah. I was like, oh, man, you're wrong.
Because his brother is Black Tom Cassidy,
yeah,
who's Black Irish, and then Cassidy's Redhead Irish. So,
I mean, you know your Irish
Hell yeah. I also know how to drink.
They're all from the UK.
Whatever. Kevin, what do you got?
I'm going to do something that I don't think any of us has done in a crap load of weeks. I'm going to give you a twofer.
Twofer. Okay.
So instead of bullshitting my way through one review that I blah, blah, blah on for about 30 minutes.
You can bullshit through two?
And we'll do it for two.
The rest of our time.
And maybe try to pithy it up and get it under 35 minutes. So here we go. Book one, Manifest Destiny by Image Comics or Skybound Comics or whatever the fuck they want to be called. Written by Chris Dingus. Art by Robert Matthews. Colors by Owen Guyeni.
Did you say art by who?
Matthew Roberts.
Matthew Roberts. Did you say Robert Matthews?
Is he a news guy?
I don't know.
So imagine it's in the 1800s. Lewis and Clark are doing their thing across America. You know, they're caressing it. They're exploring it. They're feeling it out.
Are they talking about Sacagawea or Lewis and Clark in America?
Not yet.
No, okay. they're just doing their thing with America. And but did you ever wonder why we were able to make the Louisiana Purchase happen? I mean, that's a shitload of land that we purchased from the French on the cheap. It was really, really cheap
because Napoleon wanted to wage war in Europe and he didn't have the resources to keep the.
No, because it was all fucked up.
Oh, okay.
It was messed up, man. Spooks, freaks, geeks, all that shit. At least that's what the angle they're trying to explore here in Manifest Destiny.
Aha.
So,
it was Zombieland.
Honestly, I picked this up because of the cover. Couple characters on the front. And they're not muskets. They're rifles. You know, the old school rifles where you get jam your stick down there to
still musket.
Oh, okay, all right. But they're standing on this cliff, and this cliff is basically discards of aliens and demons,
torn and souls.
Dude, honestly, it fucking reminds me of Contra.
Yeah,
like the last level of Contra.
Yeah,
you know what? That's really funny that you say that, because I totally see it. When I first saw it, it reminded me of, like, Joseph Michael Linsner art, like the Dawn stuff.
Oh, yeah. The crazy shit that's going on in the background.
Yeah.
You look past her boobs. Yeah. So now now you have Lewis and Clark. It's a fascinating tale on its own, but now we add in some fucked up voodoo and some other wingbat shit. Man, fucking sign me up. The issue number one is a wonderful setup. It has excellent storytelling. I have this vision in my head about how people acted back in the day, and I think they connected with my mind successfully. Deceit and betrayal. It's a wonderful introduction to a story that I don't know how long they're going to keep on doing this. It could be ongoing, because really America is greatly unexplored, so they could do whatever the fuck they want with this. There was a lot of pages that made me go,
It was smart. It was very smart writing.
It was. But there was a few pages that I thought were a little fucked up. But it's good. There's tons of mystery that looms in these pages. And I look forward to issue two. So, again, that was a Manifest Destiny number one. But what's the story between Image and Skybound? Do you know?
Skybound's like an imprint. You know, I think Skybound, if I remember right, is the Robert Kirkman owned.
Portion. And that's the guy who does Walking Dead, right? And yep. Space Ace number one.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Okay. Book two, Brain Boy. Brain Boy.
Say that again.
Brain Boy.
By Dark Horse Comics. This appears to be a three-part series. Written by Fred Van Lente. Art by R.B. Silva. And Rob Lean. Colors by Ego.
Okay.
Yeah, which...
I don't mean to cut you off, but just it just boggles my mind. We can have a great story, great art, but we can't put any time or effort into a title.
Seriously, now, this is something that I did not pick up because of the cover, and I clearly did not pick up because of its name. It was... he gets teased about a lot being called Brain Boy in the book.
Wait, called that in the book?
Yeah, he is. And that's one of the things, it sets him off, kind of like Marty McFly being called Chicken in Back to the Future. It's just, don't call me Chicken, or don't call me Brain Boy. It's meh. on both of those accounts. But instead, I picked it up because of the description inside the front cover, which I'll summarize. Matt Price is the world's most powerful telepath. Matt has been raised by a corporation honing his craft. He is so good that his company now lends his services to the U.S. Secret Service to help him to help safeguard important peoples. So what's his craft? He's a telepath. So now, being a telepath, this is just one of the abilities that I always wish we had. We ask that question a bunch when we're doing interviews or drunk bar nights. Like, hey, man, what power would you really want? And fucking, for me, it's always a telepath. Yeah. So naturally, this, between that description that I limped through and my own want to be a telepath, like, ah, fucking pick this up. So what happened in this book, and what did I like without getting too wordy? Psychic War. Good character development without being boring. A good action. There's a little sense of mystery in it that plays through it all, with a really sweet reveal at the end. The art, I kind of like it. Now I'm going to throw down another video game reference. You guys remember Jet Set Radio?
No.
It's a little bit more modern one. The I don't know if they apply it to the same in book art, but that type of game was called cel-shaded art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it seemed kind of blocky, but anyway, I put that cel-shaded type of art in this book, and I really like it. And for me, even though there were a lot of words on the page, it was a fast read.
Well, you know what? I'm going to make you really happy.
Okay.
Are you going to pick up issue 2 when it comes out?
Probably.
Cool, because it's out.
It is?
Yeah.
Are you fucking serious?
Are you going to pick up issue 3 when it comes out? Because it hits stands on Wednesday.
Are you fucking serious? Are you fucking serious? I fucking hate comic book stores. I hate fucking comics. I hate fucking comic book stores. What the fuck? If it's fucking new, if it's not new, take it off your new shelf. I went to a new comic book store and like, hey, are these all the new ones? Yeah, these are all brand new, man. Hot off the presses.
Hey, Kevin, you know how you would have known if he was lying? If you were a telepath.
Fucking A. I fucking hate you. I still want to call your name out. Because here's a funny story about this. Okay. I'll keep it some short and sweet like my fucking reviews that weren't very short. So I go up to the counter and I throw down my comic books and...
Wait, hold on. Is that your ringtone?
Dude, would you just put glorious stuff on your ringtone?
That is terrible. I'm so ashamed of you.
So I throw my comic books down and she's like, hey, do you want to join our reward program? And I'm like, no, I don't stop by here. And if I'm on the other side of town, I'm like, no, I don't stop by here. And he goes, oh, why? Like, fucking, I say no. You ask me all why? I'm like, because I don't come around here very often. And he goes, and I always have my phony baloney story of, oh, I do a lot of traveling, so I see a lot of comic book stores. And this fucking douchebag, another douchebag employee goes, oh, really? You go to other comic book stores? What do you think about this one? He's like, oh, fucking proud of his comic book store, strutting his stuff. He had the fucking short of the Mick Jagger duck lips going on. Oh, yeah, comic book store. So awesome. So fuck you, comic book store I'll still not name out. Oh, so fucking pissed.
Well, that was off the shelf.
God damn it.
With a side of rage.
Manifest Destiny was new, right?
It was. It was brand new.
Damn it.
What? I think it's going to be a fun new game just to pretend after each
fuck
one.
You.
That was actually last week.
I'm not picking up.
When I saw Brainbow, I'm like, oh, cool. I'm like, 3 must be out. Then I'm like, wait a minute.
All right. What's next?
Let's
throwing
some
stuff through windows.
Should we do some news and
drink
notes?
Away the rage.
Yep. All right. News this week. There's actually a fair amount of Marvel-based comic book news, which is rare because it seems like normally most of the
Marvel news.
And
those are just spoilers? Or those little teasers? The one word teasers?
No, like actually news.
Okay.
Young Avengers is coming to an end in January, which I know that there's a lot of people out there that are going to be pretty disappointed at that.
Yeah, Kid Loki was a lot of fun, but I think they're growing him up real quick.
Yeah, they're
like, which is fine because he needs to get back to being a villain eventually.
Well, like Agent of Asgard or something, yeah. Some shit like that we talked about a while back.
Yeah,
that he's going to be doing. Wolverine is being rebooted, just the regular Wolverine title. He's getting a new costume.
Is he gonna be brown?
No, it's black and yellow, and it's kind of got like the X across the suit.
Because they need to have the X to prove that they're an X-Men right. Somewhere on there.
Should it be a big W since he's Wolverine?
Well, here's the one thing, though, like on this, if you look, there's a couple things about it that I'm excited about. You guys know Stegman's
number one.
Stegman's one of my favorite artists, yeah. So I'm super happy about that. Wolverine, they've said in here that Wolverine's going to be using a lot more guns.
Huh. Well, I think they're still going to be doing what he's doing now is he doesn't have his healing factor. And that may be a reason why popping the claws hurts a bit when you can't heal from that so quickly.
What happened?
I've read
the part of the no healing factor, but they kind of glossed over it. Like I'm already supposed to.
Yeah, aren't they supposed to be killing him or something soon?
I don't know.
That was part of it. That he's killable now, so they're going to kill him because the movie did that, and then now they're continuing on with.
But didn't the movie give him back his healing factor in the same movie?
I still don't know, honestly, in the comics, how he lost his healing factor.
Well, I remember the first time when
Magneto
like zapped. I'm going to take your
metal out, but he still has healing factor.
Well, I thought
he lost his healing factor when they took his
adamantium.
Yeah,
because the amount of damage that was done to his body, they're like, oh fuck, we'll go over. I'll give one last heal to you and no more.
Yeah, and then his claws started coming out looking like corkscrews and shit like that, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. So yeah, new Wolverine series coming out, but you know, Paul Cornell is still the writer. It's cool to see Stegman coming on that. One of the reasons, though, Tony, you're right, though, that they had to make his X uniform so that he's part of the X-Men, because Wolverine and the X-Men, that's no longer.
That actually is a little saddening, because that book was a different sort of X-Men. They weren't the Cyclops going and fighting the bad guys all the time. Now, granted, yes, people attack their damn school all the time, but it felt a little more cheery, like it was a more happy school than what the X-Men used to go through. So
let me ask you one question. When's the last time you bought a new issue of it?
During the crossover this last, but before that, a while.
Uh-huh. And now the Battle of the Atom's over, if this wasn't going to get canceled, were you going to go back to buying that book?
I'm going to say yes, just because I can. No one knows the difference.
See, I always thought it was poorly titled because it should have been Wolverine and the School Board, because or Wolverine and the Sorcerer's Stone, or Wolverine and Hogwarts, because that's what it always felt like to me. It was more about the school, and maybe it should have been called like the Jean Grey School for the Gifted or something.
Yeah,
instead of it's Wolverine's in the title. Woo, snick.
Or like the what the hell's the name of the town that they live in?
Westchester.
Or West Salem. Yeah.
Yeah, West Salem.
Yeah.
I don't think that's where it's at now, though. I thought they picked a different city to destroy.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm thinking of the Harper Valley PTA.
Damned.
So all right. Come up with something on there.
That was funny for not too many people. When did someone come out in the 60s?
70s, I think. The Harper Valley PTA. Yeah. Tony, what do you got?
Well, something in the vein of number. Okay, looking at all the solicits for February, Marvel is just rebooting everything again and starting with number ones. And I go on and on about all of them. The one that I'm pissed off about is redoing Fantastic Four. They've been doing great, the storylines have been good. Why do you need to then start over at number one?
Well, the family trip is over, the RV's coming back to Earth.
That's okay. So cool. Continue on from the story that was
someone was actually one of the writers at the Gutters. He does his little like commentary on the page, and this recent one talked about the Fantastic Four starting over, Really funny, the comic is them trying to buy house insurance for the Baxter building. Homeowners insurance, because no one will cover them. But the thing that he said is, you know, look, if you're going to keep renumbering them after about 12 issues, about every year, why not just do, like, a year? You've got, you hire a writer, that writer's going to be on that title for a year, you do a year subscription for that, you could sell it that way, and sell you 12 issues for this, and you get a whole story arc, or maybe two story arcs, in a year with this one writer, and then someone else could come in and maybe change the tone a little bit next year. But that's what it seems to me that Marvel just keeps doing anyways, so might as well, like, officially come out and say, hey, we're going to renumber these and maybe give us more volume numbers now.
I don't know. Marvel's really pissing me off. Like, I want to go take frickin' copier or a fax machine, and me and Kevin are just going to fucking beat the shit out of it in an open field. He'll call it his comic book shop. I'll call it Marvel, and we'll have some fun today.
Well, I get the reason for more number ones. In the fact that, yes, it does give people a good jumping on point, you know, like the all-new Soulfire.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about. Problem, for me, too, it gives people a perfect jumping off point.
That's true.
You know, so that's their double-edged sword. Tony, what else you got there?
I got DC solicits. Those don't look half as bad as, well, okay, not even saying Marvels are bad. It's just DC is at least not rebooting and renumbering. They did
that a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Is it the new 53 yet? Or is it still the new 52? Is it the old 52? Is it the kind of present 52?
It's the whatever, but pretty much in a like I said, we're looking forward to February, and this is when all this Forever Evil stuff is ending. Forever Evil number 6, Arkham War number 5. So I'm going to be sad, actually, at the end of February when all this cool evil stuff ends.
So do you think when DC does their next reboot, it's going to be the, like screw the 52? You know,
just the square root of 52.
Let's see. Quick little note. Speaking of solicits, Marvel did say that Free Comic Book Day, they're going to have a Spider-Man story and a Guardians of the Galaxy story. The Guardians, they're just... Quick note in there that Captain Marvel, a.k.a. Carol Danvers, will be at least on the team for that portion. And it looks like the shadowy character in the back is Cable.
Ooh.
In there, so who knows?
That's cool.
Or is it some other cybernetic...
Some other guy with the eye patch.
Yeah.
And that could be anyone.
Yeah, giant, it could be. Yeah. Giant gun, cybernetic arm. Yeah, I don't know. Deadpool?
Something that we talked about before... And when we were talking about the beginning of the show, or before we started, Preacher seems like it's coming to AMC. It's reported that Seth Rogen is really jumping behind this and is pushing a pilot, or making a pilot for AMC of the series. So, it's happening?
I believe it when I see it. Preacher's been in production one way, shape, or form. I think since I was in college, and back then it was just called secondary school. So.
Back then you had to drive around with your feet underneath it like the Flintstones.
No, back then we hadn't even invented the wheel yet.
You know, I'm just trying to think of Seth Rogen. I mean, I guess I'm thinking of, you know, his sense of humor that I don't know if that fits with... You know, but maybe he's, you know, taking a serious role and he could take it well. I mean, there is some humor in The Preacher, but I just don't know that.
And I think MMA is hilarious, so. let's see. The last little quick note I had, comic book related, was Boom Studios announced that they've got some tie-ins for the new RoboCop movie.
Which is surprising. They're announcing four of them. Which, I don't know, which I think says more about how Last Stand has been doing. I don't know sales-wise how it's been doing, but I would say if the sales for that were kind of in the tank, beyond number one, which I know that one was big, but beyond that, they must feel pretty confident in this, because there's four different titles now. I don't know if they're one-shots or anything that... But
my favorite title was RoboCop to Live and Die in Detroit.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, they have there is a shot of it. It looks like RoboCop's fighting Cobra.
That's kind
of
cool.
Because all the red lasers are missing him.
It looks like one hit him.
But that one
was aiming at the guy next to him.
Finally, this is true, but it might be a hoax.
Okay, well,
but it could also be fact or fiction.
Well, the truth of the matter is,
I wonder what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, and you two, I mean, the way you talk, you'd think you're twins, but
we're pretty wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's activate this story, and Midtown
Shazam.
Comics.
Damn it, Tony, you ruined our buildup. Midtown Comics.
God, you just gleeked all over everything. Midtown Comics reportedly got a poster from reportedly Warner Brothers. That says Kunis and Kutcher, and it's a nice, you know, good quality poster, and you see the two fists coming together,
fist bump
with the W
with
in there,
rings,
and it says Activate 2014. So, I guess the question is, if this was real, why would no one else have heard anything about this?
I hope that it's a real fake story, like a 30 minute movie, a little short.
Two sources that I can't remember where, but I was reading online about this ordeal, was something about people that were working on the Superman, like, extras and DVDs. Like, some of the producers were, like, talking about how awesome a Wonder of Twins movie would be. I'm not sure how true that is either. It was someone else saying that they saw it on the extras of DVDs. So could this be a tease for having them in to start the Justice League? Probably not. The other more likely is they're having the Entourage movie coming out. And from what Entourage, with all the movie stars in it and everything, they took out one season, a giant two-page ad for Aquaman made by James Cameron, because he loves all the sea and Titanic, in like Time Magazine or some Entertainment Weekly magazine. This could be in the same vein of that, of it's a movie spoof within the Entourage universe, and since Entourage is being made by Warner Brothers, this could be something to tie in with that movie.
Alright.
So
either way, if it did have Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis in it, I would totally, it'd be great, a little short to include in like the Superman Deluxe DVD Blu-ray Edition Special Volume 1.
Who'd play the monkey though?
Damn it. Boots! Boots from Dora the Explorer.
Last thing that I got, which I find fucking amazing, is a giant crossover that's going to be happening over at IDW. The title is The X-Files Conspiracy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which is just so weird.
Yes, and it sounds weird. So
but that's what the type of stuff that, you know, Mulder would be going for is, like, you know, there's giant alligators
there's
living
of
in
these
the
things.
In the sewers.
I'm just curious because, like, to me, I think Mulder would just want to kill them.
Probably.
Well, from what I'm getting from this preview here is, I don't think it's going to have so much to do with Mulder and Scully, and it's going to have more to do with the Lone Gunman. Which I can see that approach a little bit more than having, you know, Scully all of a sudden seeing, holy shit, these are mutant turtles.
Wait a second. Michael Bay is changing them to alien turtles. So maybe this is a tie-in that we're going to change the origin of the turtles to be aliens here, huh? Huh?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Hey, well, who knows? I mean, the truth is out there, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah. That's it for news for me.
Can they still show people smoking in Smoking Man?
As long as he's not in a bar.
He's riding a camel.
Yeah. Tony, you got Indy Turnpike this week.
Yes, another book that I picked up that was new and different and wanted to check out was Umbral.
Umbral what?
I was going to start talking and then Matt starts pointing at my damn comic book, like what?
Voodoo
what?
Hex on it.
Yeah.
Ooh, making shadow puppets in the Shadow Umbral.
No, this was, it's hard to explain because it felt more like an old novel, fantasy novel, slash made with a little bits of Alice in Wonderland.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Is this an Image book or?
Yes, it's from Image. This was a first of, well, the series. It's I like that each of these ones has a title for the, it's almost like a chapter of a book. Like I said, this is number one, which is The Day Dawned Twice. And it seems, like I said, like a book because within the first couple of pages, you have a map of the realm.
Yeah.
And I've read plenty of fantasy novels, and actually this is something they should include in most books that don't take place on Earth. To know where the hell you're at in this world that you're exploring,
I love maps.
Is great. Obviously, when they're doing something,
they don't love you like I love you.
Matt, are you just looking around the room and seeing things and saying that you love them?
I love maps.
What I also love is the titles that they gave the people that created this: the Scribe, Anthony Johnston; the Illuminator, Christopher Mitten; the Painter, John Rauch; and the Flourisher, Thomas Maurer. So I thought that was kind of
that is cool, very cool
to do. Besides the map, which also I'm just like awesome to know where the hell this is going, it takes place in a world that does have wizards and thieves, and think of it kind of almost like, you know, the main people in a D&D, you know, quest. You know, it's that type of world, kings and queens. And you have the main person who's a thief, and they're going into, I don't know, she's friends with the prince. Somehow that works out. And they're going to steal a treasure from in their treasure room because the prince seems like he's a little bit of a shit and trying to, you know, impress the Thieves Guild. He's wanting to do magic. And through this process, this void, this eclipse is happening, which is why it's the day dawn twice, because once the eclipse happens, then it's dawn again, kind of. And through this come some creatures that are pretty badass, like looking and how they're drawing, and
they're like really shadow like puppets but evil.
Yes.
Okay.
No, they're really freaky evil shadows.
Ultimately, you see the king and queen die. This chick gets sent into the void, or the neither world. She comes, and also the prince gets killed. But when she comes out, they're alive. She's got this artifact which she doesn't know what to do with. And she goes to her wizard friend.
Head of the Thieves Guild.
Yeah. And the end just ends on a high note of, oh, this guy is a fucking bad guy too. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's definitely, for a first book, it leaves you hanging. It starts setting the mood, but it doesn't give you a whole lot of answers.
Well, it's definitely gets you to come back dark more. With the killing and everything. But mm-hmm. I was looking at it at first when I'm reading, I was like, this might be a children's comic book. This might be something that, you know,
an Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, to give to your things. Except for when they're saying fucking shit in it. And it's like, yeah, no, this isn't really a kid's book either.
No, it's, I'd say it's a winner. The art definitely has kind of this dream-like, nightmarish feel to it. A great use of purples and pinks for shadowy existence and blues, so
overall, it's a good start of this first chapter of this series, and I can't wait to see more of Wap the Umbral.
Cool. All right, booze in a book this week. I've got actually something a little different, and I'm using Manifest Destiny for my book, but it really doesn't matter what the book is. Because the beer I'm using this week is Right Brain Satisfaction Extra Special Bitters. Doesn't matter what the beer is either. My point here on this one is it's bartender's choice. I actually, like, I've gotten to know the guys at my shop pretty well. And I've been traveling a lot, so I have not been able to make it in on Wednesday to browse. The great thing about it is like, you know, I'm calling up because they hold books for me and I call and say, hey, do you have this extra or something like this? But not everything I want to buy is on my pull list, but I want to make sure I get it. So, you know, the guys there are nice enough to grab the books for me on Wednesday. But it's great because they're like, hey, you know, Derek, you might be interested in this. You might be interested in this. You know, I'll throw them in your poll, and if you want them, great. If not, don't worry about it, type of thing. So that's how I ended up getting Manifest Destiny, because I probably would have passed on it, but I ended up loving it. I went to one of my favorite watering holes the other night with a friend, and I'm just like, well, pick me something. The girl picked me. The ESB.
Your bartender.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the bartender picked me the ESB. So my suggestion here is, and we all did it a lot this week, go try something new. You know, take a suggestion from somebody that works at either place, and who knows, maybe you'll be surprised. And, you know, then, I don't know, that's it. I mean, it's simple. It's not really a specific, but it just kind of hit me that this week I was lucky enough to have two people that said, here,
stuff.
And now I have two more things in my life that I like.
That was deep, man.
I know.
That was, like, whoa. Down. Thing is, though, is like I can imagine Kevin going to his comic book shop and them pointing out, yeah, this stuff is new when it's
Archie.
two years old.
Archie. Yeah. Archie from 1974.
It's DC pre-New 52 shit. Yeah.
The Death of Superman. Have you heard of this? It's off the
shelf. They're polybagged. They're new.
Chrome covers. Holographs.
Yeah. We have... We got time for Best on Tap?
Yep.
All right. Best on Tap this week, I think we all kind of agreed upon the untie with the Fearless Defenders. Or unite with the Fearless Defenders, as my little bit of dyslexia made me a little messed up on it when I went into the shop. But this is the cover's by Mark Brooks. It's Fearless Defenders number 11.
It's got a nice propaganda wartime feel to it.
Definitely almost like a communist.
Yeah, feel I was thinking the Japanese with like the sun rays coming up and stuff. Or yeah. even a communist China feel to it, but propaganda certainly.
Yeah.
I have to say I don't know why, but Fearless Defenders have had some just great iconic, you know, covers. Like, almost every week, they are pretty damn badass.
It's because Brooks has been doing their covers forever, and that dude's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually bought a few of those books just because of the cover. Okay. I don't know. I didn't read them. I bought them for the cover art.
The cover's on my wall.
Well, and that's kind of the, you know, that's why we do talk about Best on Tap. Sometimes there's a book that the cover's just so fucking good. You want it just for the art, and I admit, I feel bad that I haven't read them yet, but they're still sitting there in the to-be-read pile.
Okay.
Yeah. Last call?
Last call.
Tony, since you didn't get to talk last week during last call, why don't we start with you?
All right, well, to go back to what I was going to pick for Best on Tap was my blank cover of Unity, or my total black cover of Batman number 25, which...
Inspired by Metallica.
Yeah.
Which is 0 year New 52.
Yeah, yeah, that's so confusing.
Do that math. Avengers Arena, number 17. I think there's two more issues left before this wraps up.
Did anyone else die?
Read the book.
Okay.
it's getting tense.
We got Thor, God of Thunder.
It's very... well, you know... It's feeling intense. You know, they're co-eds.
All right. Thor, God of Thunder, number 15, still fighting Malekith the Accursed, and Thor talks with his hammer. It's a good time.
Is that what they call it nowadays? All
right. I'm going to slowly save these, so if they're not new, you can be like,
shut up.
Okay.
Nope.
Forever Evil, Arkham War, number 2.
Yes, that's new.
Yeah, that was good. This one I know is new. Superman, Wonder Woman, number 2. That was good.
I think
so. They got second base now. He's such a Boy Scout.
Are you still picking up Superior Foes of Spider-Man?
The Superior Foes? No.
Yeah, I still am enjoying it because it's one of those books that makes you kind of laugh and see from the different side of characters. I'm just loving anything villain.
Yeah,
you know?
I liked it a lot. I dropped it just due to the sheer volume of books that I'm picking up. Well, we were talking about this earlier in the week. But Superior Spider-Man as well. Walking Dead. All New X-Men, Number 18, the original X-Men get new uniforms.
Oh, they are part of it now.
Yeah.
Nice.
And actually, they're pretty slick looking
uniforms. Do they have big X's on them?
I don't believe they do. I don't quite know how to explain.
Are they uncanny?
They're not uncanny. Okay. They are kind of amazing though. Here's the new uniforms. Matt, you can kind of
they're color coded like Power Rangers.
Yeah,
no, I was thinking more Arctic Voltron. Outfits. They're like Voltron.
They are like Voltron.
Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Who's Pidge? Oh, Jean Grey's Pidge.
And was it Hank?
Like, yeah, Hank.
Hank is
Hunk.
Hunk. Yeah.
Yeah, Hank is Hunk.
Hank is Hunk.
Marvel Knights, X-Men, X from Dark Horse, Rocketeer in the Spirit. And lastly, one more shout out again to Rocket Girl number 2. You guys have got to go pick this book up if you're not. It's best art out there.
Rocket Girl blasting through the skies with everything. I don't know the words.
Yeah, that was all of them that I had.
I had FPB is still going strong with the physics.
You still like
based
that?
Based out of the Bureau of the Federal Alley. Yes, that's a good one. Mars Attacks Judge Dredd. I think it's it's number 3. I think it's a 5-part mini arc, but I just like that Mars Attacks is just funny as hell, and Judge Dredd, who doesn't take shit, is...
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah. He just doesn't get the joke.
That's really it that I've read so far.
I got 3, number 2, from Karen Gillan, in which Bleeding Cool points out that with his research on Sparta, we find out who was the giver and the taker in a Spartan relationship. Based off seniority.
Okay. Yeah, well, now I'm uncomfortable, so I think I'm done then.
Yeah, I say we go out back with a bat and start smashing some things, Kevin.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Yeah.
Anger management.
Yeah, make sure you check us out online. We're all over.
Yeah.
We are everywhere.
Yeah, like the Facebooks.
We are anonymous.
And the Twitters.
Yeah.
And the drunkoncomics.com.
That's about it. I don't think we're on Google Plus.
Technically, we are.
Yeah.
But
technically.
Technically, we are. Yeah. I don't know how you're listening to this at home. If you're finding it on our site, you can find it on iTunes, too. If you're listening on iTunes, you can find it on our site.
Yeah. Double the pleasure, double the fun.
Yeah. There's a couple other ones we gotta figure out how to get on, I think. But whatever.
We should be on MySpace.
It's coming back, baby.
On the face space. The My page. All right. Cool.
All right. Keep reading your comics, and we'll be back next week.